Thank you, Jesus, that we get to be in your house one more time and worship you for who you are and all that you've done. We're very grateful that you have overcome darkness, that you are the light of the world, and that we can just lean on you and trust in you and know that even though we're wrestling against enemies, against rulers and authorities and powers of darkness and evil and all that, you are victorious over everything, and we can trust that this wrestling is not something we do alone. Our struggle is not our own struggle, but it's the struggle that you have taken on and become victorious with, and we're so grateful for that, Jesus. Ephesians 6:12, rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil. Sounds like it's going to be a very negative message, doesn't it? I won't let it be. I don't think Scripture allows that to be the power that it is. You know, if without Christ, that's a very powerful enemy. Without Christ, there is real struggle. There's real problems. And I think, you know, a number of the sermons I've listened to on this passage, they go in depth on each one of these areas, and it can talk about the four different realms of evil and these different levels, and it's organized, and it's something that oftentimes we end up having to struggle with, and it's the truth. But there's a few things we struggle with. We struggle with the world in general. The world can be a distraction from what's really important. We struggle with the flesh. We struggle with our own desires. And then we struggle with the rulers, the authorities, powers of this dark world and spiritual forces of evil. All of that, though, is working on making the world what it is. It's kind of all interrelated. When we look at the world and we get frustrated and we're watching the news or watching interviews with people that have a different point of view than us, and it's like, okay, what's wrong with you? And you're, and I can get pent up and angry with that. It's like, okay, then my anger can give the flesh an opportunity to give a foothold to the devil. And so all of these things, the world, the flesh, and demons, they're going to work hand in hand in trying to distract us and keep us from victory. And the good news, I think, is that we don't need to worry about that. There is victory already. And so even though this sounds like a dark passage, I'm going to try to point out some positive. Putting it right there, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We've talked about that. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And putting it in context, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's really where the emphasis needs to be, is strengthen the Lord in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. We're going to get to that eventually. I know this whole section is kind of called the armor of God, and I haven't gotten there yet, but we'll get there. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's like, okay, he's not going to come up with something new. He does the same stupid stuff over and over and over again. And we can take our stand against his schemes by going to the mighty power of God. Our strength is in the Lord. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, and I think too often we think it's like, okay, there's this person, if they were just get out of office, or if this person wasn't married to me, or if this person would just leave me alone, or whatever. I mean, people that struggle in life, they think this is what the problem is, and then, you know, I've talked about before, school teachers that think this kid, if he was just not in the class, everything would go well, and then the kid gets out of the class, and guess what? There's another kid, and if that kid just wasn't in the class, everything would go well, and it's like, you know what? It's not going to go any better, because the struggle's still going to always be there until we put our strength in the Lord and in His mighty power. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against rulers. And they are more powerful than us. So if we try to do that in our own strength, we're going to lose the wrestling match. We're not going to be able to stand. We're going to get pinned. Against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms and authorities, if I skipped that. I'm going to go through a number of scriptures, and I'm not going to have you turn to them. If you want to write it down and go there, or if you're really fast with like your Bible drill skills, you can get there before we get to the next one. That's great. But everything's on the screen, or if you're doing this online, it's in the sermon notes. Romans 6:13. Here's Paul again, and he's telling the people of Rome and anybody else that gets to read this beautiful letter, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. There's a choice we get to make. Are we going to offer ourselves to the wicked forces, the rulers, authorities, and all that, or are we going to offer ourselves to righteousness, offer ourselves to Christ, to God? And clearly, we need to offer ourselves, no part of ourselves to wickedness, but every part of ourselves to life and light and righteousness. In Ephesians, it's beautiful to me to know that there's this verse that talks about all this scary stuff that we're going to wrestle against, but there's a whole lot of other verses in Ephesians already that are about the heavenly realms, about powers and authorities and all these things that we're talking about, and it puts it in a different light, and I think that's what's important to me today is we could zero in on all the wickedness and negativity, and that could really drag us down, but I think there's better use of our time by pointing to victory, by pointing to what we have in Christ. And in Paul's introducing himself, the very beginning of this letter of Ephesians, he's saying, I'm Paul and I'm writing to God's holy people, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. You know, you've already been blessed in the heavenly realms. Our struggles against stuff up going on in the heavenly realms, but it's not a terrible struggle because you've been blessed. And you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So the negative forces of the heavenly realms, they don't hold anything on you. If you're in Christ, if you're following the way, if you're one of God's holy people, the faithful in Christ Jesus, then you've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Later on in chapter 1, Paul's got a little prayer going on, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That mighty power that when we're in Christ, we can go in His strength, in His power. What kind of power is this? This is the same power as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all of this stuff that's talked about in Ephesians 6:12. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. He's victorious for eternity. So if you're in Christ, He's already taken care of the struggle for you. It's our struggle, yes, but our struggle in the power of Christ, in His mighty power, there's victory already. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Is that some encouragement? It's like, okay, yeah, there's this struggle. We're wrestling against this, and boy, I could just really get dragged down if I focused on that. But our focus can't be on the power of the devil, the power of the demons, the power of the enemy. Our focus can't be on the powers that are influencing world leaders, that are causing them to do things that are scary, you know, like building atomic weapons and aiming missiles at your nation and, you know, whatever else is taking place. That power is weakness in comparison to the power of Jesus Christ. Because everything, all power, all authority has been placed under the feet of Jesus. In Ephesians 3, His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Now we're talking about angels that are serving God and demons that are serving the devil. Those forces and authorities in the heavenly realms, all of this stuff that's going on up there, Jesus is saying, guess what? You, Christians, they get to watch what Jesus is doing in you, what he's doing for you, what he's doing through you. And that is a message that they can't ignore. That's a message that shows God's mighty power. Because we're all pretty weak vessels. We can't do anything on our own, but then through Christ we can do all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in verse 12 of chapter 3, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Faith in Christ. It's that simple. For salvation comes by grace through faith. We can't earn it. We can't work it up in our own strength. But it's available, and we can approach God with freedom and confidence, knowing that he's victorious over all these things. In 1 Peter, remember Peter's the one that Jesus turned to and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because when Peter was saying, you know, you don't need to go to the cross, Jesus knew that that was not being concerned with the things of God, but being concerned with the things of humans, the fleshly concerns, our own selfishness, our desire to not lose an experience that he was enjoying with Christ. And Jesus never, ever, ever rejected Peter. He rejected the influence that Peter was falling under. And so Peter later became a leader in the church as the church grew and expanded by the thousands daily. And Peter wrote epistles, letters, and we have the privilege of knowing some of Peter's heart. And part of that here in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Now, if we forget that we're a holy, precious people in God's sight, it's real easy to get discouraged and start thinking, okay, we have to wrestle against the rulers and the authorities and all these terrible powers. And we fall back into darkness. There is a danger that even followers of Jesus or followers of the way can give a foothold to the devil. We don't need to do that, though, because we're chosen. We're God's special possession. That special possession that God says, this is so that the angels and demons that are in the heavenly realms can look at what I'm doing through you, and they can see my eternal plan. They can see that they don't stand a chance unless they're following me. There's one place, there's one right way. The way, the truth, the life. And we've been called out of darkness. We don't have to stay in darkness. We were called out of darkness and into his wonderful light. In Romans 8, Romans is a fun book, and if you ever just want to kind of see the progression of how Paul thinks, he kind of goes all over the place. I love that Peter later says, yes, some of Paul's writings are confusing. Okay, so if you get confused when you're reading the letters of Paul, you're in good company. Peter was as well, and he understands that Paul doesn't always make perfect sense, and sometimes his sentences are way too long, and there's all kinds of issues, but there's also great wisdom there. And he was writing under the inspiration of God, and he says, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yeah, there's all kinds of problems. There's issues. But you know, we don't have to be under the law. There's hope, because we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, do you think everything's covered there? Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, there's some real pleasant hope in the fact that I could be a bonehead. I could do stupid things. But that's not going to separate me from the love of God. I can get discouraged. I can get depressed. Some people even get suicidal. But that's not going to separate you from the love of God. And we can actually be more than conquerors, overcomers. God's going to protect and care for His people, His chosen special possession. So in the strength, in the Lord's might, we can face any kind of enemy, even the enemy from within. And I think more often than not, the devil doesn't need to do anything with us. We can mess things up on our own strength. So today's text we looked at for our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And as is demonstrated in the rest of Ephesians and Romans and other places in Scripture, all of these forces have been defeated. All of these forces are losers. And you're more than conquerors. You're victorious. You're God's special possession. You're chosen to be with Him in His strength and in His mighty power. In Colossians, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Boy, that's got to be encouraging. The fact that Jesus came here to earth and He demonstrated the fullness of God. The entire deity is available for us through Scripture. We can learn a lot, but through Holy Spirit who indwells us even more, we can know the fullness of Christ. That was one of Paul's prayers for people that he would write to. It's like, I want you to really understand and acknowledge and know the fullness of what you have. And then all of these struggles you have, they're really not that big. Because you know someone bigger. You are part of something much bigger than those little struggles. Yeah, there may be pain for a time, but rejoicing comes in the morning. We're going to be able to know that He is the head over every power and authority. There's no power or authority or ruler or realms of heavenly realms that are these dark, evil, wicked things that we can read about. Yes, Paul puts it in there because he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. But he also says there's victory. And everything before that in Ephesians and everything after that, when we start getting to the part about the, you know, putting on righteousness, putting on the truth and all of the different things that we're going to learn about with the armor of God, there's victory. We can stand against these evil schemes. We can stand because there's already victory. You've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. In Colossians 2:15, having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's finished. He's on the cross. He says, guess what? You know what, Satan? You thought you got me. But all you did was fall into my plan to redeem a whole bunch of people that I loved. And now they're all victorious over you. And you're just making a spectacle of yourself. The harder you try, the dumber you look. And that's, I think some of us could take that same advice. You know, Scripture's full of situations where it says, and trying to redeem himself, he, and then what comes out next is usually, you know, somebody tries to find a way to rationalize why their position's really better than God's position, and, you know, we can't redeem ourselves. If we learn humility and recognize that God is God and we're not, and knowing that He's already disarmed all the authorities, we don't have to fight this battle because it's in His power, in His might, in His strength. It's been won, and it's been triumphed at the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle with Your strength and with Your power and with Your already victorious might against wicked darkness. And we know it's there, Lord. And help us to be with You and to fight with You and struggle with You and be by Your side. And we know that You're always with us and You never leave us or forsake us. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that we can honor You with our thoughts. We can recognize that we truly have been called out of darkness and into Your wonderful light, that we can live with You and for You and allow You to live through us. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.